Erica Larson. Erica is a gifted hypnotherapist and life coach. She also teaches dance to 6 to 9 year old girls, practices dance herself, and expands her own spirituality by reading, traveling, and spending quality time with those close to her. She has a wonderful life story that she's going to be sharing with us. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you, Sharon, for having me.
You're welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. It's beautiful out right now, and so I'm all, chipper and happy today.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? We live in the same part of the state, and there's not a cloud in the sky, which is so unusual for the Seattle area, mm-hmm. but it's 31 degrees. Brr.
Yeah, I haven't actually walked outside yet, so I've been staying in my cozy house.
Yes, I haven't either, but that's what my car said when I had all the heaters on and my heat mm-hmm. seater. Said 31 degrees, and I couldn't believe it. Okay. I looked out the window last night, and our landscapers were over, and they were flushing out the irrigation just in the nick of time, because I think today everything is frozen.
Yes.
So are you playing hooky from your work today to be with us on the show?
Yes, I am, and I'm working from my home office, which is so nice. So, yes, it's a nice, quiet Wednesday.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, I'm really happy that you're with us. So, Erica, we want to start the show hearing about you. And I know in your very young life, you've already done so much. You've experienced amazing things, and you're on this incredible life path, which we want to hear about. Maybe you can tell us about, back it up to wherever you're comfortable, telling us about where you started, how you got to be, where you are now. Whatever contrast maybe you had to live through. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear about that.
Okay, great. So where to begin? Let's see. I grew up in Washington State. I've lived here my whole life for the most part. I was born in Dallas, but my parents moved us up here when I was really young. So raised in Washington, and I grew up in the suburbs, so we like to refer to it as a little bubble, and so it was a little bit of a sheltered upbringing, I would say. And my parents divorced when I was young, and my dad remarried, and I definitely there was a lot of trials and tribulations with that, in that my birth mom has a lifelong struggle with alcohol and drug abuse, so my older brother and I, had a little bit to bear on that front. And I know it's a very common thing. A lot of people have experienced what that does to a family. I had a great upbringing. My dad remarried, and I had two more brothers join us. So I'm the only girl out of,
wow.
three boys.
the princess.
Yes, very much. Daddy's little girl. But I grew up in the Plateau in Sammamish, Washington, and went to, a pretty large high school, and then went off to WSU, which is Washington State University. Go Cougs. I was really kind of lost. I just had a lot of fun in college, but I didn't really know what I was meant to do. So when I graduated, I entered the corporate world and ended up I ended up in the event planning and hospitality industry. And I really enjoyed it, actually, but I went through a few layoffs, actually a couple, two in particular. And I was in the corporate world for about 6 years. And the two layoffs that I experienced, I was unhappy. And there's a part of me, and you know this because you're a law of attraction coach, a part of me was so unfulfilled in what I was doing and kind of lost and stuck and not knowing. I'm like, I need something more. Do I go back to school? What do I do? And I just couldn't seem to find it. I just wanted to be happy. Go ahead.
It's quite a feeling, isn't it? When your days are filled with something that you've created, a life mm-hmm. path, and probably to most people it seems like you have it all, but it's a very palpable physical feeling, isn't it, when mm-hmm. you're not fulfilled, when there's an empty spot that needs something different. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. It was like I would wake up every morning and not want to get out of bed, and it was emotionally debilitating. You don't want, when you don't want to get up and go to work, and when you're unhappy, but when you're young, or it doesn't even matter what age you are, but when you wake up and you're unhappy, there's something wrong. And I knew it. I was like, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing with myself and my life. And so when the second layoff came around, I went back, and I actually had decided that I was thinking about going back and becoming a counselor or a therapist. And I looked into that, and I actually enrolled to go and get my prereqs done. And I realized the process that it was going to take to get that done. And I did some self-help. I came across Louise Hay's writings, and I through a friend, serendipitously just fell into a coaching program. I literally found out about the program on Wednesday and was in class on Friday. Like, it was very, it was all word of mouth. I knew somebody who knew somebody who was starting a school here, and it was like the universe was saying, go, do it. This is what you need to do.
Fantastic. Let me just back up just a second on when you started that first step on the path of being a counselor. So that was kind of your introduction. So you went from feeling unfulfilled, unhappy, to the counselor. What did that transition look like? How did that seed start inside of you that made you pick counselor? Was that process like?
I had picked up some self-help books along the way and had been reading them, and I had decided that I wanted to help people. And without realizing that I have been kind of coaching people my whole life, and you're a coach, so you probably understand what I'm saying.
Yes, since day one, yeah.
Yes, and I had thought, I'd already always been in the back of my mind that maybe I would go into, be a therapist because I'm good with people. And I'm one of those people where I'll meet someone and they'll just tell me their life story.
Oh, I love it.
And do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And so it was a natural fit. And when I found the coaching, I realized that there's definitely a place for counseling and therapy, and I think that that's wonderful. But the coaching was, I felt so much more because of the process, the coaching process, and the fact that we bring out of people their own answers and their own truths. It's not as much advising or telling. It's okay, let's talk about what's wrong and let's find a solution. And a solution that works for you. And so when I came across the coaching, I was like, this is it. This is what I need to be doing with my life. And it was a transformational coaching program that was very spiritually based. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very spiritual person.
Uh-huh.
So it was just this amazing fit. And I realized that was absolutely my path. And so I ended up just taking a part-time job and getting, my coaching business off the ground, and that's when I came into hypnotherapy. And a girlfriend, it's exact same situation. I was like looking for, other tools to add to my toolbox. And one of my girlfriends who took the same coaching program as I did, she called me up and said, hey, Bastyr University is having this hypnotherapy program, and the early bird special ends tonight. Do you want to take it with me? And she's actually a psychic medium, so she was getting messages to call me and tell me. And so I was
it's great. Yeah, it's great to have friends like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I agree.
Time to act now.
Exactly. So I was like, I got online. That. I didn't uh-huh. really hear anything else, and I signed up, and I was in school 2 weeks later.
Wow.
So, and that's what brought me to the hypnotherapy. But it was definitely a process. And, I've ever since I had started the coaching program, I really worked through a lot of my fears. I had a fear of heights. And it's still kind of there, but I actually, I believe in facing your fears. And I ended up going skydiving. And yes. Things I would have never, I ended up, after I got laid off the second time, I said, I'm going to go to Europe. And I bought a ticket to Europe and left 3 weeks later and took my severance package and traveled. And that was amazing. And so there's things that I did that the coaching, had I not had that background, would have never done.
But what I'm hearing is that you were willing to go into action.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you knew what your personal limitations were, you know, mm-hmm. your fears.
Yeah.
But you weren't willing to let them debilitate you. You
Correct.
Were willing to take steps to overcome them, mm-hmm. which is really huge, you know, for everybody. And it holds a lot of people back, is mm-hmm. willing to take, to have that, to be brave. Mm-hmm. So what do you think helped you to be brave?
That's a big question. What helped me to be brave? I think a lot of like just debunking fears. And I mean, it's the acronym for fear, false real or false, what is it, FEAR, false experience appearing real, or is that what it is?
Something like that, yes.
Something like that, okay.
Yeah,
it's so true that, you know, I had this fear that I couldn't travel by myself, and that there was, that I just couldn't do it, and I didn't know. And what was so amazing about going to Europe by myself was I didn't know the languages. I only speak English. And when I arrived, I had this mantra through the entire trip. Every single day I told myself, when I need help, help will be there. Mm-hmm. And that is what got me through that trip. You know, I was in foreign countries for a month, traveling around by myself, and every single time I ran into a bind or I needed something, it was there. It was.
Of course.
I was so supported in that trip. Yes. I can't even. There's miracles happened. I remember I was going to Venice from Tuscany, from Florence. I was headed to Venice, and all of the trains that day were sold out, and so I had to get on the last train out of Florence at I arrived at 11 o'clock at night in Venice. Well, if anybody listening has been to Venice, they know that Venice is the city you're supposed to get lost in, right?
Yes, I have many times.
Okay, so I'm there in Venice, and none of the water taxis are running. There's the place is vacant. Nobody's around except for those of us that got off the train, and I'm standing there with a brother and sister that are both from the States, and none of us know where we're going, and I don't know where my hostel is. I have no idea where I'm at. And I hear two other, you know, Americans walking behind me, and they were clearly college students because they had paper bags with 40s in them. I didn't even know you could get 40s in Florida or in Venice, but I hear them walking behind me, and I'm like, you, where are you going? I need to go here, and I show them my map, and they're like, oh, actually, we're going to that square. Your hostel's in that square. That's the party square, and I was like, I'm going with you. And they walked me to my hostel. I would have been completely lost.
You'd still be there. They were your angels.
They were
sure.
My angels, yeah. And that just happened continuously through the entire trip.
So what I'm
really trust. Trust, yes, is the answer to your question in a roundabout way.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And what I was going to say was you had a level of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And your faith and trust, that was, you know, as I need it, it will be there and it will show up, right?
Yes.
If you've gone into the place of fear that I don't know how this is going to happen, I have no idea how this is going to unfold, and I'm scared, then it wouldn't have. But you put yourself in the magical place of working with the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, your well-being was assured because you believed it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I would want, you know, the viewers to have, as to really hear that point, is that the trust and faith in your own personal process and working with the universe is what made it so seamless.
Mm-hmm.
So that's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I had made an intention, a conscious intention, that this, in no way is this not going to work for me. You know, in no way is this mantra not going to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like I had to live by that. There was no other option for me. So you're absolutely right. It was all faith and trust.
And I love that level of stubbornness.
My conviction was just.
Yes, because I have it too, totally. You mm-hmm. know, it's it is a level of, you know, I use that term loosely and in a fun way, but that stubbornness of just knowing that things are going to work out because you've decided they're going to, you have faith and trust that they will, mm-hmm. and intention. I love that you use that word because it's one of my favorite words. I think intention is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the power that kind of jet fuels you to your goal, to your end result, to what you want, right? So
absolutely.
I always encourage people to start with their intention and then never lose sight of that intention. Mm-hmm. So I just love it that you did that, that you had that. Mm-hmm. So where do you think you did you learn all of that from the books that you were studying, that faith and that intention, that trust?
Yeah, I mean, I took it, the books, and people knock self-help books, and they're like, oh, you know, and they'll make fun of them and stuff, but they opened up a door for me, and that's what led me to the coaching program, that's what led me to hypnotherapy, that's what led me to opening my business, and going skydiving, and going to Europe. So that was really the beginning, and it was more than that. If you back that up, it was my intention to grow, and to change,
yes.
and to find...
Yes.
You know, what I was searching for something more, and the books were the first step to that. So but the coaching program and becoming a life coach, you have to walk the talk. You know, to be a hypnotherapist, you have to walk the talk. And so that was really part of it. I was like, I can't. People look at me and they think that I'm younger than I am. And so when I tell people I'm, you know, a life coach, they kind of look at me like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know,
right. For 5 minutes. Right.
Yeah. Right. So
you have a lot of experience.
I do have to walk that talk, and I do, need to face my fears and to expand my horizons, and through traveling and opening up my own business and writing and doing all those things that speak to me, is how I learned to flourish.
Yes. And I traveled that very same path on starting with those books when I was in my mid-20s. Reading all of those books, I still haven't stopped, but I think what they give people are the tools.
Absolutely.
The tools that we now can implement into our lives for our expansion, and we learn new knowledge and we get to choose what we want to believe and incorporate into our own lives. So I'm a complete believer in using the books as tools. What mm-hmm. are some of the books that you read that you loved when you started this process?
Well, I think the first one that really opened the door for me was the Louise Hay. Is it Louise Hay's How to Heal Your Life?
Yes.
From
yes.
the Hay House Foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that one that I really realized that it was the first book that kind of catapulted me into the coaching program, but into self-coaching. Like she really pushes or inspires you to forgive. And, you know, I had a lot of past stuff that, you know, through my upbringing and my youth that I needed to forgive. And, you know, beyond my parents, you know, people that I surrounded myself with and, you know, myself too, because you are who you hang out with.
Yes.
And I, you know, didn't like myself at certain points in my life, and I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive them, because if I didn't forgive them and held grudges, they were going to keep showing up. You know, it was like a mirror for me.
Yes.
And, yes. and so, you know, moving through the forgiveness and letting go of the past was huge. And that book really helped me, start that path.
I think a lot of people have trouble forgiving themselves, you know, when they feel that they have been a certain way, or things have happened to them, or they've behaved in a certain way. They have trouble forgiving themselves, and so it's easier sometimes to forgive others and harder on yourself.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, I, what I say to my clients is that you're supposed to be your own best friend.
Yes.
And would you talk to your best friend that way? And
it,
9 times out of 10, you say no. So
exactly.
You know, yeah, if you're speaking to yourself in a way that you wouldn't speak to your best friend, then, you know, how are you treating yourself? At the end of the day, you know, you need to love yourself first before you can love others. And that is just a firm core belief of mine. And that book, How to Heal Your Life, was what first brought me to that realization.
Yeah, it is a great book. It's on my bookshelves as well. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read the Conversations with God books?
Yes, I'm reading it right now. Sitting right next to my computer.
Is it, which one? Because there's so many.
I'm almost finished with the first one.
Oh my gosh, you only have a whole bunch more to go, and you're going to love them. Yeah. You're going to love them.
I love that you brought that up because it's sitting right here. I put it, yeah, it's sitting right next to the computer.
That's where I started. You know, one of the very first ones that when I walked into the bookstore and said, Universe, I'm overwhelmed. There's so many books. What am I going to choose to help me step onto this path of spirituality? Mm-hmm. Took me right to the God books, Conversations, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I had never seen them before, but I just knew I was supposed to read them. And I started with one, and there are quite a few, and they're so wonderful. You know,
they
talk about the laws of the universe, so it's law of attraction without saying it's a law of attraction, you know.
I think I'm so grateful that this book that it came across my path, and it's been on my radar for a few years, but I haven't picked it up until I picked it up last week, and I absolutely love it. It's great. It's really opening up my eyes to a different way of looking at God and religion. And I love that book.
It's everything in its perfect time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
When we start the new job or we take the book off the shelf, you know, it can be the very smallest thing in our lives mm-hmm. that we know is there. But if we wait for the perfect time for when we are inspired to move forward, mm-hmm. even if it's just to reach up on the shelf, that's the right time for us.
Isn't that so true? Because yes. I've a lot of times, and one of my good friends was talking about this, and she helped bring this to awareness because I knew that I was doing it, but I didn't realize I was doing it. I know that doesn't make sense. I used to force myself to do things, but I wasn't feeling inspired to do them, so I was doing them from the wrong place.
Yes.
And now I've learned to just let go. And like people say, let go and let God.
Yes.
Let go and just when I'm inspired to do something, it turns out not only do I get it done without realizing getting it done, but it's so much more profound when I do it.
It is. It's right for you. Erica, I love that you brought that up because it's one of the core things that I teach people. Mm-hmm. When we try and force anything, we're pushing against. Mm-hmm. And we've blocked off the well-being of the information that we need to get it done the way we want it done, no matter what it is, whether it's a conversation or mastering a job. But when we relax into knowing that when the time is right, we will move forward by being inspired, divine inspiration, and then it can only go our way. Mm-hmm. And I've taught that to my children. I teach it to anyone that will listen because I think it's just the key to having things move with ease, to having that we all want things to work out the way we want them to work out, right? And
right.
So we have to allow it. We have to allow them to flow and move with ease.
That's so true. I love that you said that. It's a new concept for me, and I'm just trying to embrace it in every, because it's easier said than done in certain areas, you know.
Oh,
cleaning
exactly.
the house.
Yes,
cleaning
yeah.
the house only when you feel inspired to do
right.
it.
Divinely inspired to go do that. No, I understand
right?
that.
Like those dishes have been sitting there for a while. But it does. The ease that you were talking about is so much more profound when you just do things when you're inspired to do them.
Exactly. And let me make a small point here that might help. Let's take a mundane task like the dishes, you know. We're probably not going to get this major revelation and divine inspiration to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the key to wanting to do the dishes or doing them with ease, any mundane task, is to get ourselves in a good feeling place unrelated to the mundane task we have to do. So, as an example, the dishes are facing us. They're there. Mm-hmm. But we take the time not to try and force and feel good about wanting to do the dishes, but find a small activity or a train of thought, it doesn't matter what it is, and feel good, get ourselves into a good feeling, happy place. And then doing the dishes is a piece of cake because we've blocked off that resistance. There's nothing in our vibration that is holding us back on any level from wanting to do that because we haven't brought that into the picture. You know what I'm saying? It's not a fight whether want to, not want to. It's just, I feel good. I'm going to do these. These are my means to an end because I know after I get them done, I can go do something really fun.
Well, thank you for that, because I'm going to implement that this week on organizing my closets.
Yes. Don't try and feel good about your closet. Get into a really good feeling, happy place about the time of day, about any subject that you choose. Feel really good. Get that vibration really cranked up. And then go do your closet. And always looking forward to what you get to do after you clean your closet, or just making the decision that, you know, I'm going to find a fun nugget in cleaning my closet. Maybe I'll find something that I haven't worn, that I've missed in many years. I'll find it. You know, whatever it might be, just setting the intention that you're going to glean something fun out of doing your closet, and then just forget about it.
I love it. Now I'm actually looking forward to it. Thank you.
It's all these little games that we play with ourselves, with the universe, but they're completely effective. I see them as the key to living an easeful life. Mm-hmm. Just because we have to get through our day, we have to do all those things, everything, and we want them to be fun and easeful, and it's a choice and it's a process. So, good. Have fun with it.
I will.
So getting back to your hypnotherapy, now, we didn't delve too deeply into that, so where did you leave off? Why did you think hypnotherapy per se was going to take you where you wanted to go and would help anybody that you know, any of your clients? Because there are many different ways you could have gone.
Sure, and thank you for asking that question, because what I found was that coaching and hypnotherapy are such amazing marriages. The coaching, I like to say that the coaching helped me find my path, whereas the hypnotherapy helped me find my light.
I love that. Say that again.
The coaching helped me find my path, and hypnotherapy helped me find my light.
In what ways?
So we've talked about the coaching, like, that's what really put me on, you know, the path of helping and serving others.
Yes.
And the hypnotherapy has really allowed me to, in my own life, allowed me to go into those places that needed to be healed and heal them. And because the coaching, it's like I consider hypnotherapy like life coaching the subconscious mind. And when we go into the subconscious mind, it stores our memories. It is responsible for all of our automatic body processes. I mean, our brain controls everything. And so when we are tapped into that on an intentional level to heal some part of us or to change some sort of unwanted behavior, then we have this rapid ability to heal. Because the subconscious mind, I mean, they say that, you know, it takes, you know, 30 days to create a new habit. But when you have the subconscious mind on your side, it makes it much easier and much quicker and with more ease. It's just more joy. So the hypnotherapy is fantastic because I'm able to go in and really help people, you know, with the inner child work. There's a lot of issues that we have, and I usually say that as adults we spend our lives trying to heal and fix what happened in our childhood.
Yes.
And so using hypnotherapy is such a great tool to go back and do that work. You know, we can go back to the inner child and give that inner child what it needed at that time. You know, say it's a six-year-old in you that didn't get enough love or attention or affection, you know, from the parent. And you can go back and you can give yourself that love, attention, and affection in the hypnotherapy process, and it heals all of this stuff that you're dealing with in the present. All the things that we don't experience our past unless we bring it to our present. Does that make sense?
Oh, very true. We tend to bury anything and push down anything that doesn't feel good, whether it was yesterday, today, or 20 years ago. So is this a long process working with clients, or does it completely vary?
You know, it totally varies. It depends on how much is buried. It depends on how long you've been burying it. it depends on if you've opened, you know, if you've started to carve out or dig out, you know, some stuff at a time. You know, there's some clients that I work with that have already started the process and are more open and ready to make those changes.
Sure.
And do that healing. Mm-hmm. And then there's clients who, you know, aren't quite ready to go there. They have the one, you know, the insomnia issue or the anxiety issue or the weight issue, and they just want to deal with that one thing. And they don't realize that everything is connected and that there's these patterns that are showing up. And so I meet people where they're at, and, you know, I'll do work with somebody. You know, if some people may come to me for one session and be like, okay, that was enough, whether they're ready or they just got, whether they're not ready for it or whether they just got what they needed in that visit, or I may have somebody that comes to me for 12 sessions, you know, and they're like, I can't wait to see you again next week, you know, and so it just depends on the person.
So when somebody sits down in front of you, where do you start? Do you start with the life coaching? Do you just have them put their issue on the table before you decide where you want to go with them?
Yeah, we usually start with about 10 minutes of coaching and just intake. I always mail out the form, so people usually come with that done.
Yes.
And I sit there and review it, and we chat about, you know, their goals for the sessions and what they're looking to work on. And, you know, sometimes I have clients who say they want hypnotherapy, but then they show up and they really just need to talk and they just want the coaching. And so I'm really flexible when it comes to that. I like to give the person what they need in the moment. And so, but with the hypnotherapy, a lot of times we will start with 10 minutes of coaching and then go into the hypnotherapy piece.
Right, and that makes sense. That makes sense. So we all have different ideas on what hypnotherapy is, you know, hypnosis, mm-hmm. and you know, growing up in our culture, it tends to mean different things to different mm-hmm. people. So what is that process? You know, people ask, I imagine they ask you, if are you going to hypnotize me, mm-hmm. or, you know, what is your process of getting them to the state that you need them to be in to access all of
sure.
that information?
So it's funny because there's a lot of misnomers out there about hypnotherapy.
There are.
Now, Hollywood has done a great job with, if you've seen the movie Trance, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Of course. Yeah, you
oh
get to
goodness.
Dispel them all now.
I was traumatized after I saw that movie.
Oh, no.
So hypnotherapy, hypnosis process is so relaxing. It's like taking a nap. It's a deep meditative state. It's just juicy. So
delicious.
It really is. So you get to kick back, close your eyes. You know, I take you through a process of just, you know, kind of like a guided meditation.
Okay.
To get you just in a really relaxed state. And it's actually a hyper self-conscious state. So you become very, very internally aware. And, you know, trance, the word trance, there's, I think, maybe some good and bad connotations with that, thanks to society and stuff. But,
right.
But trance is actually a natural state that your body wants to go in. If you've ever, you know, been driving home and missed your exit because you were, you know, off, your brain was off thinking about something else, or you drove home and you didn't realize, you don't remember how you got there.
Oh, yes.
You're actually in trance in that moment. You're hyperly focused
good
on something.
Absolutely.
So it's a natural state that your body wants to go in and does go in pretty much almost on a daily basis. And so what I do is I use that to my advantage and to your advantage, in that we take that trance state and we hyperly focus it in a very relaxed, you know, place, to deal with and tap into the inner wisdom and knowledge in your subconscious mind. So whether we're looking for memories or inner wisdom, which is usually a combination of both, it's a very creative process.
Right.
But it allows us to get to the core issue in a rapid way.
Yes.
So that's what's so beautiful about it. And it's, I mean, people wake up and, or you're not actually asleep, but it's the... What I love to tell clients is that it's like that state before you fall asleep, but that you're not still quite awake. It's that in-between state where you're like daydreaming. It's like pseudo-sleep. And that's what it feels like. That's what hypnosis is like.
And that in-between state is a really wonderful place, because you're not mm-hmm. quite conscious, to state intentions, to really state an intention for the next day or your life, you know, at night when you're going to sleep and you're in that state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's a positive experience.
Oh, definitely. Yes, absolutely.
So how does hypnosis, how were you able to use it for your benefit? I mean, can you hypnotize yourself? How were you able to do your healing using hypnosis?
Yeah, well, I like to get it done too. So I have, you know, colleagues that I trade with so that I can get my own services done.
Okay, so you have to have someone else do it.
I prefer that just because I love working with other people, and I have rapport with some colleagues, and it's nice to be able to get your stuff dealt with.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I do use my tools. You know, if I'm lying there in bed awake, I will work on self-hypnosis, and I will put myself into a relaxed state in order to calm myself down or fall back asleep or whatever it may be. Yeah, because you can use these. I do send people home, and I'm like, you can use this tool when you know, if you have a fear of needles, you can use this tool in the moment to calm yourself down.
Well, it's important, don't you think, Erica, as a life coach and someone that helps others, that the universe always sends us ways in which we can use and have to use what we teach others. We can only become a master at it by having to do it ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right?
I do.
On ourselves.
Yes, and I do believe that we, you know, that we have our own stuff that we've dealt with so that we can be of better service to others to help them heal.
Of course, yes. I believe that the only way we can really help people in any certain way that we choose to do that is to have lived through it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if not that exact same situation, but the manner in which we are able to heal it, right?
Right.
Things come up for me as well, and I'm always having to life coach myself. Mm-hmm. And it makes me laugh because I think, well, yep, I'm having to do this for me, exactly mm-hmm. what I did for my client yesterday. So,
mm-hmm. Isn't that funny how things that you coach yeah. that you teach what you need to learn?
always. And I was so masterful at it yesterday, and now look at me today when I'm having to do it on myself. It's mm-hmm. not always as easy as it is for someone else to do it mm-hmm. for someone else, right?
Right.
But it's amusing and helpful and a necessary part of our process.
Oh, definitely.
So how do you see your career, what you're doing expanding? You know, how is this going to continue to unfold for you?
Ooh, I love that question. Beyond just the coaching and hypnotherapy, you know, I've been hosting workshops, and I really, really I want to get into like speaking at more seminars and writing. You know, I have my blog, and I really want to, you know, create an ebook and then also to author. You know, that's one of my dreams is to publish some pieces. Absolutely.
And a book, what do you want to publish? Do you have a theme, a subject specifically that you want to write a book on?
You know, I haven't. I have one idea that came to me recently, and it's about, you know, like the five languages of love.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that book?
No, I don't.
Okay, so there's this great book. It's about the five languages of love, and it's they have one for singles, and then they have one for couples. And it's really about these different ways that we give and perceive love. And if your partner has a different love language than you, then you may not be receiving, he may be giving you the wrong love language, so you're not receiving love.
Okay.
And so I had this thought that, you know, we all communicate very often in different ways, and to do a book about communication and the different communication styles and what is effective and what is your communication style and what is your partner's communication style.
That would change the world.
Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we all do communicate on a different level. So right now you and I are just, you're talking about love. Mm-hmm. And it all comes from, everybody has a different perspective on everything. And I know that learning the language of love with a significant other is a dance. It's a process, and it takes time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just now thinking of the process, you know, with my husband. Mm-hmm. You know, learning how his method is and over time how I truly came to understand it. But I think that takes time. and process, don't you think, when you're dealing with another person, to know what their dance is?
Absolutely. And when you have that knowledge, then it's easier to actually, you know, to reach that person. And then it creates, because I always talk about how, you know, there's you and your feelings and your perspective, and then there's him, your new partner, and their feelings and their perspective. And the space in between is the relationship. And so with whether it's, you know, it's your communication style, or whatever it is, that how are we cultivating that space in between, and how are you keeping that healthy and happy and full of love?
And it's that understanding, right? So I'm thinking back to in the very beginning, a long, long time ago, I had my own very specific ideas, and I think we all do. I watch people around me, you know, how I wanted to be loved and how what language I would understand. Mm-hmm. And if it was different than that, it would upset me on some level, mm-hmm. because it wasn't what I had decided that I needed, mm-hmm. in our love communication. And it was just beautiful to be in a committed relationship and be willing to, over time, and I think it does take time, have that understanding. First of all, it had to start with an openness within me to be able to receive differently than what I decided.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always, I use the word dance a lot, but don't you think it's that back and forth, that ebb and flow, that giving and receiving and truly understanding who that other person is, because they're loving you in the very best way that they can. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be about me understanding that language.
And receiving it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, receiving it open-heartedly in the way that they want to give it, because that's how they know how to give it. So I had to learn all of that, and it was lovely. And I think a lot of relationships fail because they don't ever learn how to do that. They don't even know that they don't know. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah, it's what you do. You don't know that you don't know.
Right.
Absolutely. And relationships are, it's so funny because a lot of times, you know, when we're not in one, we're like, oh, I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship. It's so wonderful. And then you get in a relationship. It's like, this is hard. this is not as easy. You know, and then you live with someone and you're married and it's like, wait, this is, there's some challenges here. I love you, but right now I may not like you, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's a lot, there's a lot there. And I believe that, you know, people in our lives are our mirror. And when you're in a, you know, intimate, significant relationship, they are that mirror. And they're there in your life for a reason. And there's things that, you know, that want to be addressed and healed, so that you both can grow. And
yes,
and that's where the challenges come in, is like, how do you cultivate that growth in a healthy, balanced way, and instead of having it be explosive and volatile or unloving?
I think that comes with educating ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know that I was able to deal with all of that because I had the spiritual background. I had studied spirituality, and I also was committed to this relationship. So I knew that everything that came up was an opportunity to grow. So I was one step ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. It didn't make it any less difficult. It just made it completely doable.
Mm, I like that.
It made it so I knew that there were the answers. There were mm-hmm. answers out there for this difficult situation. I asked the universe for help. And we were always sent the help, whether it was in modalities, in people, in, you know, books, or, you know, whatever it was, the openness and willingness to have that communication stay open and do our own personal healing. That was a huge part of it. And so we were the perfect mirror for each other.
That's wonderful.
And it all worked out, and we're a work of art now, so.
Yay!
I know. But it is true how these people are sent to us, or we choose them to. They are our mirror, and they mm-hmm. can be our greatest teachers. I know my children mm-hmm. have been also my greatest teachers, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So I think for people to understand, it helps to have that awareness, don't you think?
Absolutely.
That awareness that, okay, here is an opportunity for me to grow, for me to change, mm-hmm. for the betterment of myself and the relationship. So what do you do in your seminars? What do you teach?
I have the most recent one that I've been doing is a weight loss and body image.
Cool.
And it's really about accepting yourself where you're at and loving yourself. And, you know, the whole point of the workshop is to, because a lot of clients that I have, they are compulsive eaters. So they are, you know, eating from a place of, you know, like self-hate and desperation. They're looking for, you know, that's why people crave certain foods and why we, you know, a lot of people overeat is because they're looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, how can you love yourself enough that you don't crave the food, that you don't overeat, that you have a healthy relationship with food? Because it's never really about the food.
No.
And that's what I've that's what I've discovered. And that's what I've experienced in my own life because, you know, I did, in my need for love and control, I did have, you know, a decade-long eating disorder starting when I was, like, 16. And that was a really hard time in my life, and it was a lot of self-hate. And so knowing what I know now, I've been attracting these clients that are needing similar healing to what I experienced.
That's beautiful that you have. Let me back up just a second because we didn't really talk about that. Is what was that defining moment, or was it a process over time of how you overcame that eating disorder?
You know, it was a process. It was definitely an ebb and flow. And what I noticed was when I was happy and content and not worrying about the food and the weight, I would be healthy. My relationship with food was healthy, and I would lose weight naturally. And because my body has a natural kind of homeostasis that it likes to be at.
Yes.
And so when I, you know, and I had an awareness around that, and I don't remember the defining. I remember the defining moment when it began, and I don't remember the defining moment when it ended, except that I went to my parents and I came clean with my parents. Because that was a really big deal for me. And I think I had just decided that this is enough. This is not who I am anymore. And I went to them, and by I think being honest with them and confiding in them, I knew that I wouldn't do it again and that I would choose differently. And that, I think, was probably, if you were looking for a defining moment, that was it in my shifting out of that mentality and that pattern.
Well, I think you said a really important thing a minute ago about when you were happy. You know, when we're happy, we have all the well-being of the universe available to us. We are clearly in alignment and connected to Source, right? Our higher selves and everything. And so that's when you felt in control, when you felt like things could go well. So it is about that sense of well-being, about that being happy, and then everything in your life can flow in an easier manner. So I just wanted to point that out because it's such a huge factor in having the ease and access to the well-being in our lives, to all of the subjects, all the aspects of our life.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the weight loss seminars are more geared towards self-esteem and self-love,
right?
And accepting yourself where you're at, and then teaching tools about you know, blessing your food. And if you've heard of The Hidden Messages on Water, have you read that book?
Of course,
love that book.
And, I know.
And allowing people, you know, to develop inspiring people to develop a healthy relationship with food and with their bodies, because we do regenerate, you know, so many cells every single day. You are literally reborn every day.
Yes.
And so allowing those, you know, sharing that information with people has been really lovely. I've also taught spoken about attracting soulmates, the law of attraction.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it was really fun.
That's fantastic. You are clearly changing the world. I mean, you're doing so many amazing things, and even at your young age, It's just beautiful to see you going down so many paths of helping others. And I'd love to do a check-in with you down the road to see what other magical things you've created.
I
would love that. We're nearing the time of the end of our show, and I'd love to know, Erica, if you have any question for me.
Yes. So you said that you, and is this, do you want, can I ask you a question for coaching? Could you?
Any question you want, of
any
course.
Any question? So yeah. I have this nasty habit of procrastinating. And I think this taps into the conversation that we had earlier about being divine timing. But
yes, it does.
But I still have, like, I need to email this person, I need to email this person, I need to call this person back. I need, you know, like, especially within my business. I have this procrastination habit that I would love some maybe awareness around if you have any tools or tips.
Okay, so kind of in a nutshell, you want to stop using the term, and it's sort of judging yourself. I have this nasty procrastination habit. How does that feel when you say that, right?
Awful.
Boy, yeah, that doesn't feel good. That's a bad thing to have because you've just said that to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So first thing, you want to not say that anymore. And that definitely, that's going to help you vibrationally. Second of all, I completely understand about the procrastination, and it has to be okay that you procrastinate. When I'm going to write my blogs every week, I'm not able to do it, or I choose not to do it until the very last minute, and I'm perfectly fine with that. It causes me no angst, and I do not feel I'm procrastinating because I have given myself permission to do that. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm doing it at the last minute, but that's when I believe I'm inspired to do it. So it always turns out perfectly. So to others, it might look like, oh, she's procrastinating and leaving it to the last minute. But I'm saying it's perfectly okay to do that, and I feel good about it, and I know that's my highest result. Does that make sense? Okay.
It does.
And another important aspect, like we touched on earlier, is let's say you have a big to-do list and you are procrastinating doing them. First of all, mm-hmm. give yourself permission to just let them go until you feel good. Now, it was kind of like doing the dishes. You mm-hmm. don't have to want to do the emails. You don't have to get to the place where you want to do them, because you may not. Mm-hmm. But you do have to get into a place of feeling good generally. You have to get your vibration up and feel good in a general way. See what I'm saying? So you've taken mm-hmm. away procrastinating being bad. Mm-hmm. You've given yourself permission to let everything happen when it's supposed to happen and when you darn well want it to, and we'll mm-hmm. take care of it. Mm-hmm. And then you just get yourself into a place of feeling good in whatever manner that you can, and then sit down to write the email. You don't have to say, I can't wait to do the email. You don't have to get there. You might not be able to. But then sit down at your desk and everything will flow, because your vibration is high.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So helpful.
So can you tell our viewers how they can reach you and what contact information that you would love to give them?
Absolutely. My website is www.ericarenee.com, and that's spelled E-R-I-K-A-R-E-N-E-A. com, so the spelling's a little bit different. And then my email address is info@ericarenee.com. And my business number is 206-790-3910.
Thank you, Erica. It's been such a delight to have you here today. It's been really wonderful, and I thank you for being here. You've brightened the day.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's lovely getting to chat with you.
Thank you. You too. And I wish you the best of luck. And we will chat soon. And thank you, everybody, for being with us today. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did. Please visit my website at SharonValentine.com. And I've been creating all sorts of new short videos, teaching videos of my blogs. And I'd love for you to subscribe on my YouTube channel at Sharon Valentine. So thank you again, and we will see you next week. Take care. Bye, Erica.
Bye, Sharon.